This is a production of Cornell University.
Today is Wednesday, December 7, 2011, meeting of the Employee Assembly. Are there any late additions to the agenda? I have one thing to add, appointment of members to the Trustee Nominating Committee, if we have time to do that. So moving right along, if everyone take a quick look at the minutes from the last meeting. And when ready, I'll entertain a motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Great, thank you. So, very quickly, because I see our first guest is here, but if you can very quickly talk about the trustee nominating committee. You all saw my email yesterday. We have three employees who have agreed to step up and do that. One of them is Leslie Morris. One is Andrew Page, who's also in the communications committee, and one is Mike Esposito, who was a former trustee, right?
Yeah.
So does anyone have any objections to appointing the three of them as our three employee representatives to the nominating committee? No objections? All in favor of appointing them to the committee? Great, thank you. They're all, you're good, Amy. All right, so we can move quickly into the business of the day. Leslie, do you want to introduce?
Sure. This is Leslie. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amanda Miller, and she's from the Survey Research Institute. We invited her here today to talk about the VA survey. And I sent around survey questions for everybody, but I, basically, the goal of this session is to talk about the survey questions and how we want to use our survey goals, which are to aid perception and awareness of the EA and to also the effectiveness of our communities and channels that we use to communicate with our staff. So I'm just going to talk about the questions. I think the current survey questions that we have now do a pretty good job of assessing how our communication vehicles are working, but not very good about assessing the perception of the EA. There's really hardly any questions about that on here. So the communications meeting, the compound meeting on Monday, we talked quite a bit about that and came up with some ideas for questions. And also, Yasmin, I sent this out about half an hour ago, but she also has some suggestions on the survey. And I think Amy just printed out the changes she made on the survey. I have some copies as well, so we might have to, have to share. And I have some copies of the original survey as well. So, because I definitely think that discussion is related to the involvement. And I think we all have a pretty understanding of what the basic issues are, but I think it would be good to have a baseline.
To measure.
So, you know, we could do this again in 5 years and say, are we doing better with our communication efforts? I kind of wish we'd done it 3 years ago, because I think the board has become, you know, just so much stronger and more active. I wish we had a baseline, you know, 3-5 years ago. But,
And this really gets at what you want to measure. And you want sort of an assessment from the staff about the things you're doing, or you just want to get at the staff and reading your information and not. Because those are two different things. And then you're reading of it again, they don't find it of any value. And that would help guide you to determine. You may think you're providing really great information and everyone should be aware and should care about it, but maybe you want to know the reality of do people really care? Or if they just feel you're doing a great job, you don't want to be involved. You know, really good job, you're doing a superb job, you can care about it. So one thing that's kind of lacking in instrument is some sort of brief description of who you are and what you do and why staff should care about you. So maybe you can highlight, like, did you know, we do this and this and this for you. And then maybe also give them some information about why it's important for them to get involved. And if they think you're doing a superb job and they don't need to spend any time, so those are sort of two things that would help form the survey and explain to the staff why they should and should not care.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think we're interested in all of those things.
So it's not all of them. Yeah, it can be an intro. Mm-hmm. So you can sort of put in the intro, right. The EA very briefly does this. And then we could ask it in terms of the awareness, and we can ask a perception question. Now, given our goals of what we're trying to do, are you able to relate us in any way?
Mm-hmm. Right, that you just don't. Do you feel the EA is effective in representing staff? That might be a question for.
And they may not even know when you do that.
Right.
You're going to get a lot of people don't really.
Right.
Attention.
Well, one of the questions we talked about in our communications committee was what benefits can the EDA provide to you? So that also it tells them what benefits we provide, and also we can measure what they know that we do, you know, or something along those lines, you know, what type of things we do for them.
Yeah. So what I would really suggest is maybe tearing down sort of the information on the communications team, because communications is really a function of engagement. If they're engaged, they're going to seek you out and seek out your information. If they're not engaged, they don't even understand why they're not engaged. And that engagement relates to the perception.
One question that I would be interested in knowing from the staff is their perception about the expansion. Wasn't the ultimate goal in a couple of years to move all the way up to 29 or 39
maybe. I can't remember.
Oh, okay. Did that one be okay? But I would be really curious to know that. Like what their opinion about the expansion of the EA. Were you even aware that the EA kind of expanded?
Mm-hmm. And what is the reason for the extension?
To try to get more input from the back,
mm-hmm.
in general. And another group, representation.
Cover more pockets of campus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think one thing you're going to get out of this when you've done a lot of staff surveys is staff just don't feel any serious decisions are made. you're not Dale. Mm-hmm. We're not Dale.
Okay.
And so there is a perception, and you may want to get this in this instrument, is that there isn't the actual, not validity, but the power of this group. Mm-hmm. And the power of this group. And that's something that we can't know. If they really feel that you are a powerful entity and are truly capable of making change that impacts their lives, that's great. And then this tool can be used as a way of communicating that.
Right. Yeah. I like your suggestion about adding more information about the game. Can that also be maybe working with some of the questions as
yeah.
well, as far as kind of leading them down, you know, were you aware of the game? You know, start talking about the AA, and then for the other questions, adding information as you go with how effective you are, you know, maybe had that way of care of some of the things that the AA has done, and were you aware of that? Because
mm-hmm.
otherwise, it's just, where are one of the things to be aware of?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I would even go one step further, being aware and how
to care about it.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, because thank you. One thing is, everybody is so busy, and they feel their, you know, their life is already predestined. Someone's already making decisions that won't get involved. It's going to be a good time. They don't know everything.
One of the things we have to learn about
is
maybe issues they would like to see the EU address. With the university. So that might also provide information to them about these are things you can work on for you. In parking, healthcare costs,
or our
current
problems
for you, or our current problems for you, right? So it's a little tricky, I think, because then that kind of implies that we can do something, but, you know, we can certainly work on it.
Mm-hmm.
The other two questions I'd like to see addressed. One is about non-human staff engagement in the EA, and like if there's, what are the barriers to make non-human to be involved? I mean, I don't really know how to phrase that as a question, but maybe are there any work barriers that keep you from being involved in a way, I don't know.
Yeah,
and,
no, there's barriers to becoming involved in the EA, so is it?
Well, I'm talking more for a non-exec.
Right.
I think we have a great representation of the staff, but just really trying to get at work to non-exec. And
you asked the question of demographic.
Yeah, so we ask, are you an exempt or non-exempt staff member?
Well, we can get that from your family.
The question might be something to the effect of, if I was interested in being a member of the EA, I feel my supervisor would be very supportive of that or something like that.
Or even like the time of the meeting. I mean, I'm just thinking of, I'm not a non-exempt staff, so there might be something going on at play that I'm not even aware of that. So it might be they might not feel like they have the same educational level to be a part of it. I mean, I don't know. That's why I really think that it should be a kind of an open-ended target question for non-exempt staff, not just for, you know, even though
it's going to say lack of information, lack of information on barriers, intimidation, supervisor approval, and just daily access to a computer. Right, a large portion of non-exempt staff will come.
And then the other thing I was going to suggest was something in regards to the employee engagement survey. The president did mention us in his email that, you know, the employees said we did request it. And I think we have such a large participation from it, over 70%, that would be nice to have some kind of question or mention of the past engagement survey and like.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the way that we're doing it in a way that we're engaged in mind control for that
paper. The staff member is completed with your survey?
We have
the interrogation
staff. You requested it.
Yes.
Okay, so we
requested the president.
Yeah.
But it would be interesting to sort of measure that somehow, or what would
we'd be interested in
finding out. I think we might be interested, like, if the same people are completing it, like, did you complete the last staff engagement survey? How do you, because this is what I'm hearing is from the results of the survey, after a lot of people spend more time with the comments. I heard a lot of people wrote a lot of comments, which we don't see in the results. But just from my idea, like, did you feel your voice was being heard through that? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or how would you like the EA to engage in the survey?
Right, I would like the EA to follow up on the
yeah. What was sharing with you?
No. We're meeting with them after we meet with you to go over some of the results. So
far, the comments I've heard is that people generally feel that there's a lot more dissatisfaction than what was coming.
Does that have to create
results, really?
No. Does it sound meaningful to ask a question like, were you aware of the employer assembly before the staff engagement survey?
No. It's going to be hard to give the response. But, again, I really shy away from questions about awareness. That's not really your, what you want to see is how effective you are if people, if they perceive you as a valid entity that is representing their voice and is truly doing something. And I would, you know, you've got a limited number of questions given the budget. So I think it's different when you're planning to say this in a real small number of things. And I think we're going to do it. I think the other question is we're going to do it in a sample rather than in kind of a census. The hope is you want to do it in kind of a you do everybody you have to get ones in the you want to provide a print option. That's just for those that don't have access to the computer. There's no additional cost for those with an email address. A per unit or per head cost for the print option.
And how are they distributed?
Through the paper
survey?
The paper survey?
Yeah.
Given your comments about supervisors maybe a barrier to involvement, I probably
right.
I need to do this campus and everything. Yeah, I mean, we could provide you with a list if you really want to go to the government. And you know, not when they can get sent back to the process.
I mean,
you survey the whole campus. And are you, is your population here, or do you represent New York City, Geneva?
Geneva.
Do we not even represent an extension of the university? Or like a staff in D.C.?
Mm-hmm.
No?
Do you
need to take a vote on that?
That we don't represent them?
No.
Well, I think it would come down to, I'd be curious to see what the cost difference would be, because that's going to have an impact on.
Well, my suspicion is that your expense costs in Manhattan and not have any long land anymore. In D.C., you don't want to be on the land. And my suspicion is in Manhattan, so the facilities people aren't provided by the building, and not necessarily the kennel and the place. So they can bring their own money in there. Not an additional cost to defining the sample print.
So really defining the printing and stuff in the building.
Yeah, and that's easy to determine, you know, who don't use their net ID actively.
Right.
You can identify those. And I think there's about 100 staff that don't actively use their net ID.
Most of the folks
are
used.
Right. So you have a pizza of second
place. You have what we can't deal with. It's a budget thing. I can't deal with it.
Yeah.
Deal with it.
Okay.
Other
Maybe broaden it a little bit, not just the EA, but on a committee or something like that, you know. Because then we could follow up with them and say, here are some opportunities.
Right. Again, with also, you know, if it's not their information about
what the debt
actually
entails. So it's not confidential? If you say you're going to follow up with someone,
it's not
to them.
Oh, I
see. So
would
we ask
for
their
NID? Right. Yeah.
They give it to us and we can follow up with
them.
Yeah.
Well, there's a difference between sharing the results of the survey and just telling them they've agreed that you can follow up with
them. Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe just a note with that question, you know, a little asterisk that says, you know, your contact information will be forwarded if you say yes to this question.
Right.
But not your result.
Not your response. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what would be really helpful to me is if easier to work in smaller groups or not. If you've got other ideas or things you want to take a note, what I can do is just compile it and
of people saying, I don't have access and I can't read this, then the communications committee may look for ways to say, okay, we're going to do a print sheet of the EAE news or something like that that can that people can access in a different way.
Again, I mean, I'm not trying to use up a lot of our 20 or 30 items on communication month, because I think they all have a really good sense of how staff get information. For the health benefit enrollment, it's all online right now. People sort of know that they already know this is the population that they all have to address by paper. Everybody else is online. I would recommend, not wasting too much time. The world is going online. You really don't have a choice. And you may still have to produce but maybe those numbers are easier. But I mean, really focus on what is the content of your newsletter. And then I see you've got questions about the conference.
Yeah, I don't think those are necessary.
So then it becomes confusing to me as to how are you distinct from the conference, or are you?
I don't think they
need to do that. Okay. So I would, if you could provide me some details about.
Should we come in?
Yeah, come on in. That's fine. Come on in.
Just to wrap up, for the communications piece, if instead we talk about how to get the information of what you're trying to communicate, or
to
and then we can ask you to evaluate that and see if what you're sending is resonating. That'll help the communication aspect come.
Rather than you having to toss them back here.
Yelling,
yelling over everybody. Whenever you're ready.
We have experience doing surveys, but we don't have sort of experience doing employee surveys to draw on and try to navigate this, what's going to be the most impactful analysis, what's going to make the most difference, what people, what's going to grab their attention is something that they read about. So we're going to be working probably in an iterative way, and I've already done several exchanges with David Schwartz and Henry Opperman in trying to figure out how to present the results in a way that's going to be most meaningful and most translatable into action. I'm thinking about the large impact. Again, the priority now is on the unit-based reports. I don't expect that I don't know, again, because there's a precedent out there, I don't expect that those unit-based reports are going to be public. I think they're going to be confidentially delivered. President will get everything. And each vice president will get something about their unit. It's possible that there could be sharing across vice presidents, and I don't know the answer to that right now. We've had a few email questions about open-ended comments on the survey. There were over 5,000 responses to the survey total. Open-ended about 1,700. Oh, and I should introduce everyone. I'm the director of institutional research and planning. This is Mylene Anderson, the assistant director, and Sherry Kirsten is also in our office in institutional research and planning. Marty was here before when we were designing the survey. Sherry is our qualitative data expert and has been heavily engaged in reading those 1,700 open-ended comments. So there have been a few questions about what are we doing with the open-ended comments and what is going to be shared and seen with the open-ended comments. The open-ended comments came at the end of the survey. The question, just so you have it on the top of your mind, was if there is a particularly important aspect that you would like to tell us more about, please use the space. And people use the space to varying degrees, and some are like treatises. Some are irrelevant treatises. About like 9-1-1 and who really blew up the World Trade Towers. But Sherry has been engaged in reading those, is working on coding those, and we don't have an answer now for what will be shared publicly about those. We expect the vice president to get comments that are relevant to their individual units. But Sherry, you want to share what we did this morning?
Yeah, many of you, I'm sure, have seen these for other purposes. They're called text clouds. Generally, they're done on websites to show you the frequency of different topics or things like that. This one is not particularly useful, but it gives you a bit of a flavor of what we're trying to do. What this represents are the top 150 non-common English words that were offered in people's responses, whether those responses tend to be wholly positive, or there were quite a number of those, whether they tend to be completely negative, or whether they're mixed. People were happy about some things or other. So, regardless of those things, this is what we have. And one of the reasons that we're working with this technology is because we think that it might be helpful for senior administrators to see selected quotes whose size reflects the relevance or the ubiquity of the topic of the quote. So, for example, all of the comments, there were 1,734. Only three people this time said, you know, nothing, not applicable or none. So most of the comments did have something to add. They've all been read. They've all been initially coded. The open coding is now complete, and we're moving on to put these out, as Marin said, by note 4, and to do some quantitative analytics on these bits to kind of see what the most common themes or topics are, either for units, or also, if the unit is large enough, how do the top 5 issues for people who were dissatisfied or very dissatisfied differ from those who were satisfied and more. And so the idea is that we would be able to graphically represent selected quotes from those individuals to give folks an idea not only of what is being said and the topics that are being covered, but how common they are or how widely shared they are, either across the university or within the
university. So we just did this morning and then
No, it will suck you in. It's unbelievable.
So, you know, I don't mean to, the intention is to do like a serious representation of the kind of analysis that we're doing. And for primary reason that Sherry mentioned that it doesn't really tell you if they think good things or bad things about it. But it does, I still think it's an interesting little data point.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do these like instantly, that's fun. Let's see, there's one thing, oh wait, the open-ended comments, as far as the tenor of them, if you just look at who tended, you know, not everybody provided open-ended comments, and if you look at who tended to write them, it is disproportionately representative of people who are less than satisfied. So that a lot of the tenor of it. And, you know, we haven't done enough analysis. I spent some time skimming them. A lot of the things that you might expect that have come up, whether it's organizational changes or overwork or quality implementation or whatever it is, those are in there, but we're not at the point yet of being able to provide any kind of analysis of how important or how often. So that's where we are. We're going to be providing, again, our focus will be on the president, senior staff, and then with the provost staff and the deans. Yeah, with the deans. Results relevant to their analysis, to their units. And again, I think that I don't think that's going to be very satisfying in the sense that I think a lot of units are going to see that they're at the average and then say, there's nothing for me to do. I'm an average.
Yes, but if they're at average dissatisfaction, then
right.
That's not great.
So I think the more important analysis is about the whole university than it is about.
And do you have a sense of timeline of when units will start to get this information?
The unit stuff will be first. There's one more person who's working on the analysis who's not here with us right now, so. You know, seriously, there's the tech stuff. I've been focused on the organization reports, essentially. And another person in our office, Dan Robertson, is looking at across the university analysis. So these things are going on simultaneously. And that across the university analysis, I expect that it will take a little more time, in part because it's more complicated to think about than.
Mm-hmm.
Filling in this template, you know, with unit, and in part because it will require a little bit of narrative and explanation. So, but I would think by early spring we would have something that is a little bit more nuanced and interesting.
I know for the faculty that we have consortium data that we can do cross comparison with the university. Do we have any kind of consortium data that we can cross reference our results on the website?
Yes, so not really. That's the short thing. I have, so we're, you know, I'm part of a couple of data sharing consortiums, and I did send an email around saying who's done a staff survey in the last 5 years and do you have an online report, because it's great. And there are some that are out there. So University of Iowa is one. A certain unnamed university gave me a confidential one. And I was able to, in both those cases, like, we overlap by 5 questions or 4 questions, you know, not a lot. In the instances of the unnamed university, it was like one-to-one correspondence. 83% Cornell, 83% SSW. You know, so I don't think from that little glimpse that I have that we're exceptional. I would say the University of Iowa tends to look a little bit better than the unnamed private university, but something like this.
Okay. Yeah, because I wouldn't want everyone to say, oh, you know, these look pretty decent, and then not feel that there's still things that we need to work on or focus on. So that's great if we have a comparative to strive towards. I mean, certainly can we get some of these items very similar in some of the 100 best companies that maybe I can look to see if there's other external industry-wide and some of the 100 best companies results. I know when I worked at Chase, we were part of what was called the Mayflower Consortium, which was an employee-based survey consortium in Manhattan.
So
I'm sure it's out there.
Another thing is that when I did send that out on the list, there's people were interested in the fact that we had done this. And so I don't think it's impossible that we could develop the sharing.
Yeah,
that
would be great.
Part of what we did. And that's what happened a lot with the faculty.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Great. Thanks.
So two questions. Since this is our first one, we would like to do this more often. How often do you think we should do a survey like this? And then the second question is looking at the Likert scale, and I'm another research. Do you think that we have enough points in order to show the true variance of that change?
Mm-hmm. Let's see. On the frequency, I think it's really going to depend on how. What kinds of changes are going to take place, right? So presumably we'd want to do it and see what has changed, right? So it depends sort of what changes are proposed and implemented, I think, how soon we would want to go back and visit these things. One of the areas in which we did really poorly on is this recent organizational changes. You know, people tend to view those as fairly negative in this report. Some of that you might expect will diminish with time. So I guess I don't know what the right answer is. With the faculty survey, it's every 5 years. My inclination at this point in time is to think that more often would be good for effective employee survey because one turnover is higher. Like when you go to faculty every 5 years, they're saying, I just got this, you know. But
so is there a way to put that into the to look at turnover, but any other variables that we should look at, because I think this will be an interesting way to pass the resolution that we make this a sustainable survey.
Yeah, I don't know about other variables. Yeah. And sustainability, when I say that word, I think it means I think it would have to fit in with, you know, if we're going to do it again, we need to assess what's going on in our office, because it's been a pretty big thing. I expect it will be less in the future than it was this time around, but we need to figure it out in each of our whole suite of surveys that we do all different populations.
In the world of survey, though, is there
not that I know of. The some of the peers that I've looked at in my email solicitation, they were like 4 years apart, 3 years apart. And I think it was interesting in it from what I've seen of peers who've done other employee surveys more than once. Response rates went up at that time, which to me is a testimony about fears not being realized that this was going to be used to identify people in accident or whatever. So I think the answer is probably going to have to be a local conversation about what we would expect and what we can commit resources. Incidentally, one of the more costly aspects of the survey was administering it by paper to folks who didn't respond on the web. Paper's like way more expensive than putting them on the web. And we had 500 people respond by paper. And
wow.
I think it's pretty important to offer that.
They will.
300 people have never activated their Cornell Net ID. Because why would they? They have to, they don't need a computer to do their job, and so on. But other people have activated it and never log in or whatever. And some people don't trust the web and submitting sensitive data that way.
Have you
checked the same
with the
other? That's the question.
I just feel it's really important to recognize you and your team, because this was a feat. I mean, give us a pat on the back for getting it pushed along and getting the president to do this survey, but this is such an important survey, and you made it look easy, even though you did a lot of legwork and a lot of legwork in a very short period of time. And I can't believe that Sherry read all the comments.
I heard that you volunteered.
I did.
I said, you should have told me last week. Actually, because they are confidential, we couldn't have taken them on. But I went through them in 2 days, and it was one of the most difficult codings I've ever done. It was really hard.
Yeah.
Well, there are a lot of people. I mean, as Ryan said, you know, people who were
less satisfied and more likely to comment. The wording of the question kind of encouraged that sort of thing, and so there was a lot of it. But some people are really struggling so hard, and so that's hard.
Do you have an example of what the coding means? Or
yeah, it's very simple. Any of you can do it. For this particular one, when we talk about open coding, we talk about just looking at what's in the comment and coming up with some descriptor that runs across and saying, yeah, this person's talking about they're too busy, so there's a negative on workload, but they love their coworkers, so there's a positive on coworker, and their supervisor is supportive, so there's a positive on supervisor. It's just code through rolling like that. This is a little bit different than technical open coding because the emphasis of the survey was not necessarily on evaluation of the supervisor or people's relationships with their coworkers. So most of those initial coding categories come off of the questions themselves or the groupings in the quantitative analysis. So what we're trying to do is find evidence or information about how people talk about different aspects of their job or respect or sources of stress or things of that nature.
And as a very simple example, and you can correct me where I go wrong too, you know, we didn't ask about quality in the survey. Lots of people talk about quality. We can code that so that we can collate all those and say X percent of people talk about quality or that sort of thing.
And we can
or bias or working overtime or whatever it is.
Right. And we can tie these back to other quantitative variables that we have. So we may decide for some units that we really want to focus on the comments of individuals who were not satisfied, who are, you know, really less happy, and just pass those along or highlight those. I believe that we'll be passing along pretty much everything rather than suppressing any comments.
And then another thing about the comments that I would comment on is that there, and Terry would underscore this, I think they're very much a mixed bag. They go like this, like, what did you call them, happy bookends or happiness bookends or something?
Yeah.
They say something like, I really love my job, I love Cornell. Here's something that really pisses me off, but I love working here.
Well, she's super bad at friends. It'll be interesting to parse them out by satisfaction because I would assume that people who are doing that bookending and starting out by saying, this is the best job I've ever had, however, are probably generally satisfied overall. So it'll be interesting to see how those are reflected in what people said quantitatively.
In terms of what people are hoping for, at least the people who I've talked to, all of them have said, I can't wait for the president to read my comments. And so they have this idea that the president and Mayor Opperman are going to be reading up the comments.
So and they will get the comments,
which is
but realistically, I don't expect to, of course, to read them all.
So,
but what the work that Sherry's doing, I think, is to arrange them in a way that they're much more skimmable.
Right.
So we might say Kuali, or mm-hmm. Kuali, but Kuali, and then have a representative quote, like Kuali is another disaster, or something. And then you would have 37 quotes under that to say the same sort of thing.
Right. And I guess what I'm saying is when we get back to our constituents, somehow they should know that something happened to those.
Mm-hmm.
Something specific happened to those.
Mm-hmm.
So, for us being a stakeholder in this survey, and I know that it probably doesn't necessarily make sense for us to get the unit level breakout,
mm-hmm.
but I can imagine seeing benefits of us seeing it by exempt versus non-exempt,
mm-hmm.
or
level versus
or like, you know, pay grade level, or like the benefit in like diverse applicants versus
mm-hmm.
people of the dominant. How do we go about trying to obtain that information, and is that something that you guys can parse out?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's what I expect the university level report that will that we'll be working on or have just started working on will focus on. So let's say, for example, that people who are working in union jobs are less happy. Right, or more happy, or whatever. And then that's going to reflect on the unit where union jobs tend to be, right, facilities or whatever. But it's not facility's fault necessarily or benefit. It's the structure of the job. So we will be looking at that. How much of this is about your pay band or your position in the industry, the nature of the work that you do. You know, if you have a professional position that's very varied, maybe they have higher levels of satisfaction than a position where you're doing repetitive tasks and have less control over what you do or whatever. I mean, that's the literature on job satisfaction. As far as your access to it, I work for the provost and he works for the president, and whatever they decide, we will do.
So it's a question for us, for David.
Yeah.
And maybe we don't know, maybe it's premature to answer that, or until, like, throughout this whole process, I feel like we're trying to find our way and don't know what we're going to produce, and then don't know what the impact will be because we don't have an in-depth sense of what, you know, we didn't know that the results were going to come out like this. It could have been a lot worse, and we could have been this huge firestorm when we put the results out there or something. We don't know what that final report's going to be, and because I don't have a good sense of what it's going to be, never having done an employee survey before, for me personally, it seems premature to advocate of who's going to see what or whatever. And so I would want you to probably see it and then say these parts are for Mary Austin or whatever, these parts are relevant or should be shared more widely.
Can you just quickly talk about, because you mentioned two other surveys in here, the graduating seniors and the faculty survey. How was those surveys broken up and shared?
There's a university level report for those on our website. And then... it's like that. It's got a little more detail. Like students, we do everything by male, female, race, ethnicity, class, not just the senior survey, but
college.
Yeah, college. With the faculty survey. But we have in the past done it at college. This time I don't think we've done anything on the web. Maybe we might have done it at college on the faculty survey report. But in all those cases, the deans get reports that go down to the department that folks don't see, that is not ever made public. So Peter LaPage would do something about history, and nobody else sees that.
But I think, too, the faculty survey was a case in point. The first time we went out and did a faculty survey, it was something of the same thing about we hadn't yet mapped out a way to share the data that would be both useful, still maintain confidentiality for everybody involved. You know, it's kind of high stakes for everybody, you know. And so in the first program, I think the decision about what to share and how to share it was much more conservative. I think not wanting to err on you know, in the direction of sharing too much with too many people, that it kind of be too small pieces. But now we've done that survey again, and I think, well, it was just much easier to write those decisions, like preparing the department reports to the union, for instance. It was a no-brainer kind of the second time around, but it took the first go-round of working out the most effective way to disseminate data. But I think we'll see the same thing with this survey for sure, and repeated, you know, administrations of it.
And did the faculty get anything? I mean, I'm just curious.
Oh, no.
No, they didn't ask for it. I mean, they were not welcome.
I have a data question. In looking at the printout that we have, I just can't remember taking the survey. If on a Likert scale, there was a 3.
Yeah,
there
was a 3. Yeah.
So that when we look and you have the two positives in the survey, it's not that the rest of it is negative, but that the rest of it is medium and then negative.
And we do intend to put up
Tables. Okay,
because I'd like to see, yeah, it's right. We'll get a frequency table that will show who stands for each of the five. Okay. 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 their little things look like that. And when I compared 83% to 83%, it was the same kind of thing.
And I think it will be good to have that neutral information, because I'm hearing from other people, oh, everything else is negative.
Right.
And that's what people are saying, oh, well, it's a lot more negative, but they're just showing positive.
It's been a really interesting journey. So,
what surprised you the most out of
this? You know, just everything about this whole process has been so unusual, I think, for me and Sherry Jackson. Even everything, like figuring out who doesn't use email and how do we navigate all these, you know, institutional structures, has been interesting. That was all interesting. Beginning to look at the results, I think I was surprised to find, you know, satisfaction at such a high level. The whole process has been tremendous. And then reading the open-ended comments, I think just that you're like, wow, I didn't know this happened at Cornell. I mean, nothing bad, just like the nature of the job that I'm doing. It's like, oh, people do that. You know, I didn't know. It's just been very educational.
Did you have a lot of people not respond or contact you? I know Mary said in the beginning that some people were contacting about saying, I don't feel good filling it out.
Yes.
Is there a lot of that, or?
You know, no, not a lot, considering how many employees we're talking about, but, you know, in terms of a few phone calls, my knee probably feels
the most. More than happens for other surveys, you know, I mean, faculty don't, I mean, they might shoot a couple of emails away or something, but considerably more phone calls or emails. Generally, I think it was concerned about confidentiality, and we're telling us this isn't an anonymous survey.
Right.
It wasn't, you know, but, and I think some of that, again, it's a reflection of the fact that this was a first time out, so it was a new experience for everyone. And I think it's a reflection of people's anxiety in general and how you can use this. And, you know, there have been challenges, obviously, the university's been going through. And I think that people sometimes just call because they just wanted to say something, because sometimes it was to add to the comments they already put on the survey, which again I think is just a reflection in that case of people really wanting to take advantage of what they thought was an opportunity to share what their thoughts were, you know.
One additional thing about the response rate, 70% overwide across the whole university, but many, many units had response rates above 80%. It was one unit in particular that is overrepresented by people who don't have email logins, and so on, with a 40% response rate. Everything else was above 60. And again, there were ones in the 90s, several in the 80s.
And that will get shared down with those units?
Yes, absolutely.
Right, there were a couple of questions that we had talked about that we asked you to add. Demographic questions in particular. And I'm wondering about access to that.
Yeah, that will also go up when we do the table.
Okay.
And put that on the every question will be included. Yeah.
Okay, this is my last question. So
you have your tickets.
We're looking at the recent reorganizational changes. I know that it was lower than the other ones.
Yeah.
How would you go about interpreting what that means, just on an aggregate level? I mean, I just see that, and, I mean, I'm not that familiar with data, but like, how should I interpret that? Like, when 28% said they agreed to the comment that the changes had a negative impact on them, like, I just don't know. Or is that what that means?
Yeah,
I mean,
it hasn't gone well. I think it's very interesting. Say that only 33% mostly say that we're spending money. I mean, this whole thing about spending money more widely, the whole rework, and people aren't seeing that.
Mm-hmm.
No, 33%.
We do get
things. We are spending money more widely.
Yeah.
We do get some insights into what people might be thinking of as they mark those things from the comments. There were quite a number of comments that were very specific. Some were very detailed about issues around eShop or changing in procurement policies or things like that. And again, those are more kind of to flesh out some of that information. We certainly can't say that we've heard about every problem that might be related to people saying, no, we're really not saving money, this isn't a good idea. But it does get a little bit of nuance, maybe, or some context with some different.
Other questions? Comments?
There were several folks who wrote in to thank. I don't know that they knew that they were thanking you,
yes,
but they were very grateful for the opportunity to participate and to write a comment. And a lot of them, you know, as one of your members said earlier, were very grateful to have someone give thanks for listening. And I think that they thought they were thanking President Gordon or, you know, Mary Opperman. So hopefully they will read those and take them to heart. That's a good thing that you did.
Now the hard part,
yeah,
for us, for the administration and staff.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have a few minutes left, so do we want to, we can go right into our old business, the January retreat. We're set for the 4th, and where are we?
The physical science building.
We're in the physical science building, so.
From
9
to
1? 4-1, yeah, from 9 to 1, I think is what it is.
Is that a Wednesday?
Let's see. Okay. Yeah, Wednesday. And I've asked Claudia Wheatley, who was supposed to come today, to join us there, so she'll come and talk with us. And I think we were going to try and get notice and respond.
You know exactly what time it is.
Jem, I know you can't be there, but we're going to try and do some talking about the budget. Other things that people want to talk about at the retreat? Okay, we'll talk about Curtis. Okay? And Gemma. Talk about Gemma too. Talk about Linda too. Okay. All right, so we'll yeah.
Well, okay. We want to talk about the survey.
Yeah.
Is there things we want to bring to the president's attention or.
We
have a meeting with him, our next EA meeting, and what I think would be better is rather than send him a list of questions beforehand so that he's just talking to at us, we can prepare some questions and just ask him there. And we should try to keep them to more specific questions rather than very broad open questions that will take a long time. Last time he was with us, you know, we had one or two questions and they were very open-ended and we didn't get much out of it. So maybe to be a little more specific. I don't know what other people are feeling. I would really like to talk with him and really try and get a firm answer on how in-depth of information that he'll allow us to have from the survey. I think that that's really important, and I think that we should really push.
And what's our action plan?
And he may not know yet because he may not have the data either, but I think for us to be able to be effective in trying to push anything along from an EA perspective, I mean, you know, this high-level information is great, but we need more detail to really say, okay, this pocket needs something.
One of the areas I'm just really concerned is maybe even he wants to prepare to think about it, his response to, you know, what is it, the Bain report, is that thing especially with all the reorganization?
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like on the staff perspective it didn't work. But he's telling me it is working. And why is there a disconnect? Or why should we leave a disconnect?
I mean, I think he asked we ask them about Bain all the time, and I think that's like the 25 minute answer question. So I mean,
what industry is streamlining and
right, and I think the way that we can look at that too is to really ask the survey question here to say, 33% of employees feel that the reorg and this change has not been effective. Why do you think that's so? Something like that to really maybe.
I have confidence in the decision of the senior administration, and that only 47%. Mm-hmm. I mean, I look at that as kind of like the Obama approval rate, and I was like, anything below 50 is not good.
Right.
How much time do we have with this course?
45 minutes, Amy, I think. So, 45 minutes.
Yes, I think with him that we just need definitive things. We need action items and takeaways. And if you have like 8 questions or something, just say, we want to spend about 3 minutes on each of these questions.
Mm-hmm.
Just be as definitive as possible. Also, he'll just be talking to us. And Mary will just be talking to us.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody, I don't mind sitting there with a clock. I think we've been about 3 minutes on this. Let's move on to something else.
Okay.
He'll do that. He doesn't mind the structure. If not, he's just on the phone to Cutter, and he's coming into that room and says, we know what you got. He's looking for direction from us.
Right, and I think if we give him all the questions beforehand, it becomes more of a prepared speech.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Here's my response, and then we don't have any real interaction with him.
And he needs to be an advocate for this group. Mm-hmm. We need his advocacy at different levels. And some of this is financial support.
Yep. One of the things I'd like to add on this question to him about the survey is that obviously we understand now that we're not going to see the unit level.
Right.
But I'd like to know what level of accountability or action steps he's going to expect from leaders as he shares the unit level mm-hmm. responses with them. Because those who say, I'm the same as everyone else, and I'm good with that. And I think a lot of what we've been hearing are there are issues in some of the units. Yeah.
Well, my big question is, why can't we ask for the unit level? Mm-hmm. We can ask.
Well, who do we get with that?
That's the question. Leslie's got the right question. So you ask. And Scorpion says, okay, so what are you going to do with it?
So what I'm going to do with it is, if we're saying, okay, there's a great deal of satisfaction in Unit A and a great deal of dissatisfaction in Unit B, then can we look at what they're doing in Unit A that is giving satisfaction that they're not having in Unit B? Is it staff development? Is it flexible work time? Is it flex workplace? Is it, enough staff to do the work? I mean, those are the things that we can really look at
mm-hmm.
and maybe make units accountable to say, you're not giving your staff these core values that they need, and you need to be more like this, and you need to emulate what they're doing.
Don't forget to bring that spirit to the meeting.
Problems are and why you didn't like that.
Yeah.
And that's not for us to do.
Well, one of the things Mary had suggested was the possibility of us doing focus groups subsequent to receiving the survey results. Isn't that what she had said to us at one of our meetings?
Yeah, I think she had said that at one point.
Yeah, I don't know if that's something that we.
And one of the things that she had also talked about is, we often talk about how staff members don't feel that they can review their supervisor, which is one of the questions in here. And, we've talked about it quite a few times, and she said, maybe the answer is to have every supervisor have to go through the HALCRAFT leadership program and every staff member have to go through Turning Point. And she said, maybe that's a resolution that the EA has to do. And that's a huge thing, but maybe that's something that needs to happen so that supervisors are given the tools and the understanding of what they need to be doing to manage their people resources, because some of them aren't doing a good job.
One idea I have to go along with that, which we talked about last year, was the idea of meeting with the unit head. I don't see why in the meeting we can't request with President Scorey, maybe we can't see this. I think they're going to be very wary about the unit surveys, about showing us the data. But if we can maybe next semester, maybe next year, request meetings with all the deans at one of our EA meetings and have them come in and just have them ask all these questions. So now that you got your employee survey from that unit, what things are you doing to implement those things?
Yeah.
And how
that would be a great idea.
I mean, I just think that might go a little easier because I can imagine you go to Dean Johnson.
Because I mean, it'd be great if, and you know, we don't need to necessarily see the results, but if each unit head could have one or two action results that they take as a result of their survey results, that could be shared.
I think that could actually be a revolution to have. Yeah. Maybe that might empower them. It's like based upon the staffing, you know, where is their result, and based upon the staffing or the survey, that each unit develops one or two action steps and report it back to the president and to the EA within one calendar year.
I think it'd be great if out of the survey we found some small success stories that we kind of forwarded and then let people know what we did. Yeah. This is a great platform that EA has built some things out on, and to give us some credibility.
I think Linda had a really good point about how do we compare with other institutions and how do people even know how to, like, some people might be like, oh, that's great, 43%, think it's great,
right.
Awesome, you know, not really.
People just, like, want to know how they compare with other units on campus.
Mm-hmm.
Like, am I the only person who works in the human limb section? Am I actually not, you know, maybe we're not so bad. Maybe it's just a different perspective. Or, like you said, maybe there is one that's super, you know, the top-rated unit.
Could we have an article written on the top-rated unit and some of the cool stuff they're doing?
And I think, you know, that's part of the way, you know, to kind of get other people to step up to the plate is to see, oh, wow, these people are doing good and we're kind of over here not doing so well. Let me see what we can do to enhance our profile.
How many of you guys did the open-ended? So they've got a third of the campus set, which is big.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. 1,700. How many
staff
was
it?
5,000 or so responses.
So 7,800 out of
5,000. Any other thoughts on our meeting with David and Mary? Getting me to be taller.
12. We have a small student on campus.
Kind of like one of those things where you called out in some of your comments.
I hope that. All right, so I'll try and put together some of these items as questions for us to look at as a group, and then we can see if they work, and we'll just bring them to the meeting. And, you know, I think if they come back, you know, if David's office comes back asking what we want to talk about, I think we can just talk about staff engagement, and just leave it at that.
Mm-hmm. This is really cool. Could we do anything with this? Especially if you think, like, you know, Cornell, actually use this somehow for some branding for us? Because I think this is, like, an interesting thing. There's some interesting stuff buried in here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Frivolous thought, but it's sort of fun to look at.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I just wonder if it's all good.
The retreat, I have some right now. Yeah, we probably will.
I find that. Anything else?
I could add just a few things from the meeting
last night.
They were very busy with all of our resolutions. And some actually got passed. So this is one full day. Resubmitted the resolution for the parking, and that was passed by the UA.
Which changes?
With many changes. We wanted to make sure that it was very clear what's affecting retiring employees as opposed to Professor Emeritus, who are not part of that group, and the accessibility. It all was very good. There was some wonderful changes, and then we're having to go put that up on the UA website very shortly. A couple of the other resolutions that got passed.
the unisex restrooms.
The unisex restrooms, yes. And there was also a lot of talk with the CJC meetings that are going on. And Kurt, there's some really good discussion going on, but my information is that there's still a long way to go.
Back to the very beginning.
Yeah, but it sounded like also just really, really good discussion. And again, that information is on the DOE website if anybody wants to see what they've been talking about. It's wonderful stuff. What were the other two recommendations?
The financial support of the Fair Labor Association.
Mm-hmm. That was very interesting. That the Fair Labor Association a letter was drafted to the university, to the president last year.
Last year.
Mm-hmm. That they wanted to set ties with that organization due to a lot of their practices that they felt were very not good practices to have board members be part of the companies that they were checking into, things like that. So they did pass that they want to go ahead and request that we set the ties with them until some of these concerns are addressed. Corrected.
It was requested that resolution was passed to have the ombudsman come speak to the university assembly about views and expectations on reporting to the community, as well as provide the assembly with an overview of their most recent data. And then, what was the third one? I don't have that one because we didn't. So that was the parking one.
Yeah, there were four. Yeah, that was also one.
Yep.
So it was actually a very busy meeting.
But
I think that's
very busy and long.
Thank you, guys. Is there any other?
Well, just quickly, tonight the Ithaca Common Council is voting on the bridge barriers. Just so you know that. You'll probably see the paper.
Okay.
Yeah, you think so now?
7-2.
Oh, yay.
That's folks.
Wow. That's big.
Yeah.
Good. Anything else? Motion to adjourn?
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.